from Lancaster, this is 95.3 Bailrig FM. We'll be right back. This is 95.3 Balearic FM.
Hi there, my friend. What can I get for you today?
Fancy a falafel wrap, loaded fries or kebab? With over 100 options, find this and more at Sultan of Lancaster Experience. On campus and at the Caton Road store.
95.3 Balearic FM.
'Twas the month of December at Balearic FM. The producers all hoping for another festive gem. Here's a look behind the curtain, for I'll tell you the story of how we made our radio ode to the festive season's glory. With the hope of spreading cheer, we assembled a team to bring to life this year's special Christmassy dream. With Bowling Tower retired, happy from the Bonanza's success, we brainstormed new ideas and went to visit LDHAS. To make a fun-filled winter extravaganza once again, and spread joy from the Sugar House all the way to County Mayo. We sung songs with your lecturers, even mixed gravy in a storm. Wrote skits, went to balls, and watched films that make you feel warm. Presenters recruited, we headed for Alexandra Square, descending on Lusu's markets to ask our questions there. Frantic editing begun, and manic looks in their eyes, the team raced to finish before Santa took to the skies. They raced through the night until all that remained was for the students of Lancaster to be thoroughly entertained. So we hope you're nestled in, all cosy with faces aglow, ready to listen to the Festive Bonanza 2.0.
Welcome to Balearic FM's Festive Bonanza the second. I'm Rowan.
I'm Dylan.
I'm Ava.
Welcome. We've got a very big show planned. Originally it was just supposed to be 2 hours, but somehow it's managed to be three. Not sure how.
Because of our lovely, lovely producers.
Yes.
Who I'm not biased toward at all.
Because why would you be? We have many segments in store. Two quizzes. No games, actually. And of course we're supporting the charity LDHAS, which is Lancaster and District Homeless Action Services, once again this year. They're a very lovely charity that do very good work this time of year. They have a winter fundraiser up at the moment, and the company Aviva is doubling all donations until mid-January, so if you can donate, please do. And later on you will hear from the charity's representative, Jim Robinson, a bit more about why it's important to donate at this time of year. So yes, who's excited?
Very much so.
Quite
cannot
excited,
wait.
Yeah.
Yeah? Good. Because we're about to go into our first little quiz segment. Well, I say segment, it's littered throughout. yes, so we have a quiz coming up. We're about to get asked by lovely producer Jan a question. Ava's putting her headphones back on so she can actually hear the question, and we'll go for it.
Hello, welcome to my Christmas number ones quiz. First question, how many different versions of the song Do They Know It's Christmas have hit Christmas number one? Is it A, 2, B, 3, C, 4, or D, 5?
Right. Get discussing. I don't know the answer, actually. I should also be discussing.
I have not listened to Do They Know It's Christmas at least in 2 years, I feel.
I think it's probably only two.
What's our options again?
Two to five.
2 to 5.
Right.
I feel like Do They Know It's Christmas...
They've all got corresponding letters, and it's not A equals
it's
one.
It's different versions rather than how many times has it hit.
Yeah.
I feel like surely two.
I feel like three's a safe bet, that's right in the middle.
Yeah, but maybe that's what they want you to think.
Okay, no, that's true. I can bring to mind two, so I could believe there was a third one that I don't know about, because I'm not like
it's,
a diehard
fan. It's a popular
fan
enough
of.
Song where you could comfortably get away with three, I think, as a guess.
All right.
In my opinion.
Are we locking in our answer?
Locking in three.
All right, let's go.
The correct answer is C, 4.
Oh,
the four versions of this song that have hit Christmas number one are the original.
Four versions?
The 1989 Band-Aid 2 version, the 2004 Band-Aid 20 version, and the 2023 Food Aid version by Lad Baby.
Well, there you go. It's quite a few versions.
Shows what I know.
Obviously not enough about specifically that song.
I... Four versions, clearly you'd think everyone should know about it.
I mean, it's one of those that, because they're just different versions of the same song, I can imagine a lot of people just interpret that as the same song.
Yeah, I could very well. Yeah. Like, oh, Bridge Over Troubled Water, there's a lot of versions of that, right?
Never heard of that song.
Oh.
You're asking the wrong person.
Talking about non-Christmas songs on a Christmas show.
I'm sorry. There were a lot of versions of it for similar courses.
All right.
To memory.
So, are we ready to get on to the next segment?
Yes, very much so.
About as ready as one can be, really. I've all spent right. all day in an exam, so...
Oh, how did it go?
I think it went well. Yay. I just got to write a report for it now.
Christmas.
Hey,
yeah,
good
Christmas
exam.
You could have been revising for Christmas quizzes all that time. You've been slacking.
Yeah. We could have gotten that question right if you had been revising for the correct exam. Come on, Ava. All right. So, next up, we have the first iteration of many. Should have been a hit. Last year we did this. We had a lot of very good songs that remain on the Christmas playlist for the station to this day. So, I mean, to this day. It's only been a year. But, you know, they're still there. We still love them. I still make all my housemates listen to all of them.
They do.
So we're like doing it again. And this time, we've got Emily Adams was in charge of it. So let's find out what the first song is.
Hello. My pick for underrated Christmas song for this year is Back Home for Christmas by Mimi Webb. This song came out in 2023, and it hasn't really gained that much traction, and I think that's a shame because it's a really modern, fresh take on a traditional style Christmas song, which... kind of has this really nice pop melody and is really fun to listen to, but still feels quite traditional, so it provides quite a fresh addition to a very traditional Christmas playlist filled with a lot of songs which have been played for years. So I really think that it should gain more traction, and that is why I'm picking it as my underrated Christmas song for this year.
Just like that, first of December, counting down till we're together. Only one thing on my wish list: bring my love back home for Christmas. So long, waited for so long for the Christmas tree. With you gone, all this warm red wine,
Live from Lancaster, this is 95.3 Bailrig FM.
Welcome back. Oh, it's gone off the screen. That was Back Home for Christmas by Mimi Webb. I believe that was Jan's suggestion for a should have been a hit. It's pretty good.
It was on par with most other Christmas songs, I hear.
Yes, a bit maybe difficult to distinguish for me.
They all kind of just blend into very much the same thing very fast at this time of year.
Yeah.
Like, apart you listen to them separately, like, yeah, this is this song.
Oh.
You listen to them all the time and they just become Christmas song. Generic Christmas song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Do we have a no Whamageddon guarantee?
For the as next? The person who's put all of the songs in the system, you are not going to get whammed.
Okay, so listeners at home, if you're playing along with the Whamageddon challenge, which for those of you unfamiliar is where you try and get through December up to Christmas without hearing the song Wham, Last Christmas by Wham, you are safe to listen to this show.
I'm glad you gave that disclaimer. I think they maybe wouldn't be listening to the show if they thought that, so they wouldn't be able to hear the disclaimer.
This is true, but who knows? I feel like not many people play the Whamageddon game very intensely.
Except for you.
You'd be surprised with just how many people are willing to play this game in such a dedicated fashion.
I have been wearing my headphones a lot to try and avoid being whammed.
Yeah.
Largely because I believe my music taste is better than anything they'd play in Spa. But I also am really enjoying...
Slandering Spa employees.
Believe it or not, they don't actually get a say in the music.
Oh, well, there you go.
There we go, there we go.
Don't and insult the Spa employees.
Christmas music. And I'm scared of being whammed. And so I benefit from both my music taste and also the fact that there's no chance of me being whammed at all.
Yeah.
It's been very nice. I've made it thus far. Well, I've just got to last another 13 days. Halfway there.
I believe in you. I got whammed at the Christmas market. Thank you, Aaron Lines. He probably didn't make the playlist.
Oh, he probably picked it, though.
Yeah. I think he probably put wham in there extra times just to get people. Standing right next to the speakers, Wham starts playing. And for once, I actually remembered that it was that song I wasn't supposed to be listening to. All right. Are we ready for another question?
Yes, verily.
All right. Let's see.
Question number two. Who was the last X Factor winner to score a Christmas number one? Is it A, Sam Bailey, B, Ben Haynau, C, Alexandra Beck, or D, Leona Lewis?
Right. And this is why we edit our segues.
Having the right item tote does help. But regardless, the question.
Yes. Does anyone know any of those names?
Nope. I know none of those names. And I've forgotten them all.
So, random number generator?
Right.
Well, it was C last time. So it's probably not C again.
I bet it's A. Sam.
Depends. Don't know. I don't know who made the quiz.
Jan.
I don't
One
know.
Of the drive time people.
I don't know them very well.
Yeah, no.
Would they go I've C met twice them. In a row?
No.
No?
No, I don't think they would.
Okay.
We're playing this game like it's Old Maid rather than like it's a quiz, and I think I really appreciate that.
Or like it's a multiple choice math test and I did not study.
You were supposed to study for math tests? That explains so much.
Yeah. You were also supposed to study for Christmas tests, but I did not do that either.
No.
Should we go with A then?
Let's go with A.
Let's go with A.
I'm actually really confident in this one.
All right, let's find out.
The answer is B.
Oh!
He scored a Christmas number
one
in 2014 with his cover of One Republic's Something I Need.
2014.
No other X Factor winner has been able to score a Christmas number one since.
I was barely conscious then.
Wow. Well, that's impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, That's that for that bit of quizzing. There's more to come, though.
Okay, I cannot wait.
Well, as I briefly mentioned, there was the Christmas market in Alexandra Square that you've also mentioned in her poem. And we, as we did last year, went to this market with a little stall hiding from the rain. I originally wanted to go on the dry day, but I didn't know it was dry, and everyone said, oh, there'll be more footfall on Thursday. And then it rained all of Thursday. So, we had...
It was still busier Thursday.
It was still busier Thursday.
Like, they didn't lie.
But we were quite cold and quite soggy and quite damp.
All I'm hearing is underprepared.
That's what I'm hearing, because I was there too, and I had a hot water bottle and a waterproof coat.
I wore a waterproof coat. I still got soggy, because I don't like wearing my hood. some people didn't wear waterproof coats. And I also think... one of the things we did was ask everyone how thick they like their gravy with their Christmas dinner. No, we're not doing that yet, Dylan.
No,
Dylan's
I know.
Got the results.
I was just making sure I had them up.
Yes.
Which
so we asked
like
people this,
thing.
And we had little gravy pots that they could stir and test the thickness of. And over the course of the day, our initial attempt to make the gravy did not go well. We tried to just use warm water. Gravy does not work with just warm water. It has to be boiling. Fun fact, that's what I learned.
It's almost like there's some form of chemistry involved there.
What? No, I refuse to believe that. I think it's Christmas magic. But yes, so the gravy got kind of slowly diluted over the day, which may have skewed our very scientific results, but nonetheless, we persevere. We also went around asking people what their favourite winter treat is and what their favourite Christmas gift was. No, least favourite, worst Christmas gift. I definitely got that right. I made up these questions and I'm getting them wrong. Wonderful. So yes, I spent a very long time editing together a bunch of people's answers. Do you want to hear them?
Absolutely.
I'm going to listen to some very funny people.
More.
And they're very funny gifts.
So, we've got a couple of festive questions for you. Firstly, do you have a favourite winter or festive treat?
Oh, I feel like yes, but I can't think. I know it's not festive, but I always associate Terry's chocolate oranges with Christmas.
I think that is a Christmas chocolate.
Yeah. So that would be my favourite.
Nice. And yourself?
There is an Italian dessert called struffoli that we always do at Christmas, and it's very Christmas associated, but I don't know. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Got absolutely no idea now. Spend time with my family.
Gingerbread.
Classic.
Yeah. Pigs and blankets. Okay. You can have a savoury favourite treat. I respect that. Yeah. Yeah, have you got a favourite like side at Christmas?
No, definitely not.
No, side.
I couldn't choose. Yeah.
Yorkshire puddings.
Yeah.
That's controversial. Yeah, that's because good shout. Some people don't have Yorkshire puddings on Christmas dinner.
I love this, but I love them. Bless them. Because what they do.
What a sad life.
Yeah.
What a sad little life to
yeah. So true. And have you guys ever had a particularly bad gift at Christmas or otherwise?
Someone got me just a zipper because they thought that I loved to sew, but that wasn't me. That was my brother.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, that's bad. Yeah.
Just also,
that's a hard one.
What about that little ring you made out of cork?
I have received some shockers. I got a set of wooden spoons one year from my mum. That was probably my worst Christmas gift. Although they do get used, so maybe it was practical.
I once got a life size cut out of Donald Trump.
That is fantastic.
Is there something behind that? Not really, to be honest. No. I ripped it up and binned it. So
who gave you that?
That's my friend. So what is your favourite festive treat?
I would say my favourite festive treat has gotta be mulled wine. A classic.
I don't know. Come back to me.
We'll circle back.
Mince pies all day.
Mulled cider.
I think I'll go with mince pies as well.
Nice.
And what's the worst gift you've ever received?
I had a shirt that said, I don't know why I got out of bed, which was fun.
That's a pretty bad one. I had a pair of drumsticks that made noise when you hit the air. That was pretty bad.
Socks with individual toe bits.
Toe socks!
Yeah, hate them.
Coat hangers.
Yes!
I've never heard anyone be gifted coat hangers before. That's shocking.
Favourite treat? Pigs in blankets.
A
And what's the worst gift you've ever received?
Ex-wife.
Thank you very much.
What is your favourite Christmas treat? Brandy snap.
I don't really know if I have one. Not too sure. Gingerbread, I guess.
Yeah. Classic.
And what's the worst gift you've ever received?
A pen.
Yeah. We're wondering if you have a favourite winter treat.
Favourite winter treat? To be honest, I think having sprouts on a roast is kind of a treat. I know everyone hates them, but I think they're yummy.
What's the worst gift you've ever received?
A rabbit. And that's only because I'm not very good with animals. And it just got neglected and we had to go home, which is really sad. Yeah.
And what's your favourite wintry treat? And I hope you don't say rabbit.
Oh my god. Oh, mince pies, to be fair. I tried to eat one mince pie every day from like the 1st of November.
How are you getting on with your challenge?
I gave up, like after a week, it was too much.
Do you have a favourite wintry treat or are you abstaining?
I love a good Yule log. You know, pretty basic, but you know, can't beat it really.
Hello.
What is the worst Christmas gift you've ever gotten?
Personally, my nan, when I was a child, got me this really haunting doll that looked like it had the souls of like Victorian children trapped inside it, and I cried. She didn't really respond very well to that, and I still feel guilty about that to this very day.
That's her fault for getting you the doll.
Don't talk about my nan like that. She meant well.
Actually, I do know what the worst Christmas present I ever got was. I think I was about 13 and my uncle got me some men's socks and a reading light to attach to my book, and I wasn't a book reader at the time. There was no thought gone into it. He'd obviously gone to a petrol station and got it off. So yeah, that's my worst. Yeah.
What's the worst gift you've ever received?
I was once given a morning star by my father-in-law.
What's a morning star?
It's a type of mace for medieval battles, and why he gave it to me, I have no idea, but he did.
One time, during Secret Santa, there was supposed to be horrible gifts, and my one was a pack of 2 Scotch eggs.
You might be a bit biased at the moment eating marshmallows, but what's your favourite winter treat?
Hot chocolate, for sure.
With marshmallows?
Yeah.
Mini or large?
Mini's more efficient.
I respect that.
And are you like a sort of cocoa dusting hot chocolate kind of gal?
Yes, definitely.
All the works, all the trimmings.
Yeah, literally everything.
Brussels sprout, hot chocolate.
No.
What is the worst gift you have ever got for Christmas?
I remember, not Christmas, but for my sister's birthday, I bought her a card which had a naked Voldemort on. I think that's maybe her least favourite card. That's
possibly. Possibly a card, though.
It was a great card. I think there was a pregnant Ed Sheeran one as well I could have got.
Do you have a favourite winter treat?
I love, like, Viennetta. I don't know if it's technically winter. It's like ice cream, but it has chocolate in the middle.
Fancy ice cream.
Yeah.
Oh, that thing, yes.
That's my favourite.
What's the worst gift you ever received?
I've had loads. I don't actually know.
Having him as a brother.
Yeah, that's a good point, yeah. Yeah, probably him as a brother. Yeah.
Any comment on that?
I don't have any bad gifts. I've always been spoiled as a child.
Well, my granddad got me Viagra last year.
Ooh.
For Christmas. He got me Viagra for Christmas. I thought it was like a nerd's pack at first, but it was Viagra. Action Plus or whatever it were.
Do you have a favourite winter treat?
Yes, Stalin.
In Spain, there's another festivity, which is the King's. To celebrate when the kings met Jesus.
Okay.
And it's part of the tradition that if you've been a bad kid, that they give you coal. So once I got coal. It's just what you want as a kid.
Talcum powder?
Talcum powder?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever used it.
And you?
It's a difficult one. I can't think of many. I like most of the gifts that I've received. A set of fake moustaches.
A set of fake moustaches? Not that you can't grow your own.
Tampons.
Oh.
Yes, I can't really use them much.
Yeah.
But, you know, other people might.
I'd say socks and soap.
It's just the worst you can get.
So, what is your favourite winter treat?
Oh, I always like a nice warm brownie.
For context, we are with the Sweet Escape right now, so it's very topical. What funky flavours have we got today?
I always stick with a nice caramel, but we do after 8 minty brownies, which are nice and festive, or chocolate orange for the season.
Fabulous. And how are the markets going so far?
It's really, really good, thank you. The atmosphere's been really nice.
Oh, lovely.
So, what's the worst gift you've ever received?
The worst gift I've ever received? I don't think I've had any really, really bad ones. No. Our family's not a big family for sending just random gifts, so we don't tend to get bad gifts, to be honest.
Do you have the best gift you've ever received?
No. I'm a bit boring with gifts, aren't I? No, I can't think of.
And what's your favourite winter treat?
Finishing all the Christmas markets is the honest answer. Yeah, because I've got 9 days straight of them. Ooh. At the moment.
Wow. Have you been busy?
It's been okay. Yeah, it's been steady. Considering the weather. Yeah.
Where are you?
I'm from Lakeland Artisan. We're based in Kendal. We make jams and chutneys and liqueurs.
What's your favourite winter treat?
S'mores.
The context, this is the Marshmallow Man.
Yes, I'm the Marshmallow Man at the Christmas festival with 2 fire pits, and I love the s'mores.
What's the worst gift you've ever received?
The worst gift was a sweater that had been gifted 3 times. I believe I was the 4th time. And the reason it was given to me was because it had a small toad embroidery on it. And it was too small for me. Very apparent. They should have known that. So I just cut out the embroidered toad, kept that, and got rid of the sweater. So, yeah, that was the worst.
What's your favorite winter treat?
My favorite winter treat? Mint peppermint schnapps and hot chocolate sitting on a full moon on my birthday, which is Christmas, out in the snow, looking at a clear sky full of stars, watching, counting satellites and shooting stars. Yeah.
You painted the whole picture for us. I like it. And just before we started recording, you were telling us about some kind of wacky sweet treat creations, if you want to talk about that a little bit.
Right. Well, it was a hot sauce that evolved out of feeding nurses, because I learned very early on in my emergency medicine career, if you keep your nurses well fed, they make your life a lot easier. And I was always voluntold to bring my cheesecakes. And the hot sauce evolved out of a chili cheesecake, which itself evolved out of a nurse putting a habanero around a plate of cut veg. And she didn't warn me, and I tasted it. And yeah, life is now completely different. So look for Toad Sweat at Country Style Meats or Sweet Eat Fun at Booths.
I really like his voice. That last one, Toad. Toad of the hot sauce.
He does. Store. He has a nice voice. He has a very good sales pitch too. I ended up buying some hot sauce off him. It was very nice.
Yes, it was very lovely. All of the vendors at the market, we went round, talked to them, asked them our gravy question, and they were all so lovely. And so were the
It was a very, elves. Very gravy occasion.
Yes, I think a lot of people had some quite bad gifts. A lot of them were just... you know what? I thought coat hangers, I actually would quite appreciate getting a really nice set of coat hangers, like the velvet ones.
Do we have like a scribbling down on a piece of paper sound effect to press?
No, we don't. We have...
Okay.
We have... and another really beautiful one that will segue very nicely into our next topic.
Gravy.
Just gravy?
Gravy.
Yes, that was Erin Lyons' answer to the what's your favourite winter treat? His response was
gravy.
Sorry, I was stressing about the fact that I hadn't done this like an hour ago, and so I did it and put it on here, and it's beautiful, don't you think?
Yes, I.
Gravy.
You interrupted me with gravy.
Knock knock.
Who's there?
Erin Lyons.
Erin Lyons.
Gravy.
Rowan, I feel like it would be better if you knock knock.
Gravy.
No, knock knock, Rowan.
Oh, who's there?
Interrupting Erin Lyons.
Interrupting Erin Lyons.
Gravy.
Yes.
You've got to get the interrupting cow joke, which I bet none of our listeners have heard. So, Rowan.
Oh, God.
Knock knock.
Who's there?
Interrupting cow.
Interrupting cow.
Moo.
Just as frustrating every time. But Dylan, so on the topic of gravy, we had a scale of one to six. One being no gravy at all. Six being just plain granules. I mean just plain granules. We had a tub of just granules, another one that was empty.
It was really thick gravy by the end of it.
And then in the middle, we had water, single cream, honey, and paste. Dylan, will you please reveal the results? We'll bring down the bed for this bit.
Because I need to be dramatic.
Yes, it's very dramatic.
Gravy.
So, votes for no gravy. So those who don't like any gravy with their food, it was 16. Votes for what was practically water. 4. Votes for a single cream consistency. 69. Votes for honey kind of consistency, which is my personal favourite and I think overall the best. I think if you disagree with me on this one, you're just wrong. Was 72, so just slightly more than single cream. Votes for what was essentially like a paste or a glue was 15, and votes for just granules. So people that earnestly looked me in the eye when I went, "Do you have opinions about gravy?" They said, "Yeah, I do." And they looked me in the eye, dead. They took their tokens out of the pot, making full eye contact with me, put it in just granules. 10 people did this. 10 entire people. All of this to say, honey is democratically the best type of gravy. And if you disagree, that's your opinion. But it is statistically less likely than all of the other opinions.
Okay, wonderful. I'm interested in your decision to not reveal them in order of, like, least to most popular.
Well, I felt that would be...
The saxophones now.
Funk time.
Have fun.
Very soon.
About that.
Rowan, knock knock.
Who's there?
Interrupting saxophone.
Interrupting saxophone. Yes, sorry about that. I completely was looking the wrong way. Not.
I'm just that enthralling.
But it feels weird to talk to you and you not be in front of me.
We can look at each other in the reflection in the windows.
Oh, yeah, I suppose so, but then you can't see my mouth because the computer screen's in the way. We're getting sidetracked. Yes, gravy. Sorry.
Gravy.
It's more like it. I love that button. I'm going to start using that in every radio show we do from now on.
Pebble, next Pebble episode, we'll have a gravy section.
Yeah.
Somehow. And it will
rock. I'll figure
rock.
It out. Yes. Yes, it will, Dylan.
So I ordered the gravies in that way because I felt it was the least biased way to do it.
No, you order them in like least to most popular.
But this way, it let very little on because who knows? Maybe granules would have had the most votes.
To build up suspense by doing. Yeah,
Dylan doesn't understand the idea of a contest, I think, is what I'm discovering today.
They were also written in my phone in that order, so I kind of just read them out.
Wow.
I'm sorry that there's no exciting theological reasoning between...
Theological?
Not theological,
Just reasoning.
Just reasoning. Philosophical, I meant.
Yes, production at its finest. Definitely not a last-minute finish to this radio show at all. Are you ready to go on to our next little song?
I'm very ready. What's the next little song?
The next little song, Emily Adams is going to introduce. Actually, I think it's Emily Adams. Some of them are said by different people.
Exciting.
Either Emily or Alistair.
Either Emily or Adam. One of the two.
Emily or Alistair. I see what I did there. Well, so let's find out a little bit about this song.
This next track is by The Ramones. It is Merry Christmas, I Don't Want to Fight Tonight. I think the reason I love it so much is because you don't often get a punk Christmas song, and I think it's very difficult to find one that actually does capture the spirit of Christmas. But The Ramones' very playful style lends itself so well to the spirit, and I think it comes together to make a very fun, very silly little song. So enjoy.
Merry Christmas, I don't want to fight tonight with. Merry Christmas, I don't want to fight tonight. Merry Christmas, I don't want to fight tonight. Merry Christmas, I don't want to fight tonight with you. Oh, where is Santa? Always this way. Where is Rudolph? Where is Blitzen, baby? Merry Christmas, merry, merry, merry Christmas. All the children are tucking their beds. Sugar plum fairies dancing in their heads. Stop all fighting. It's so exciting.
How did you like that one, Dylan?
I liked that one a lot more than the other one. I liked The Ramones already, so...
So you're biased?
No.
I am biased. I liked it.
I'm not biased because it's The Ramones. I have an opinion of The Ramones because typically they release good songs. And I don't think that would influence my decision of whether this was a good song. I think if The Ramones released a bad song, I'd be like, it's a bad song.
Mm.
So I am bias-free.
Right. I hope that's true.
Me too. I realise it's really hard to be unbiased. But I do try. I try to give you my objective, correct opinion.
That's good. I'm glad. As a radio presenter, I'm really glad that you try and give an unbiased opinion. I think that's a good quality in a radio presenter.
Thank you. This is why you should tune into Pebble on...
Stop plugging our radio show. We are not here to plug our radio show, Dylan.
If they didn't want us plugging our radio show, they should have showed up.
Who is they?
Them all. All of them.
All of the other people who have gone home for Christmas.
No, just everyone. To sleep. Just everyone.
I don't think everyone could fit in this station.
I think we could do it like a clown car.
Everyone ever?
Yeah.
I'd like to see you try.
It feels like a challenge. Okay, everybody. I need you to get in touch with everyone you know. You know, 6 phone calls to Kevin Bacon. But
I thought it was 7.
No, it's 6.
Okay.
Maybe it increased with the population increasing. Kevin Bacon got further away phone call wise.
Yeah, next festive bonanza. How about we try fit everyone ever into Buffum? I think the Lancaster hotel industry is really going to boom.
I think they'd love us for it.
I think the people who live in Lancaster might not. The buses would be full.
They wouldn't mind it though, because they'd be here first. They'd get first dibs on the good spots, like the chairs and the nice corner.
All right, so moving swiftly on from Dylan's strange ideas. So obviously, we're here supporting LDHAS again this year, as we did last year. They're a very lovely charity. Everyone that we've met that's worked for them has been wonderful and such a delight to talk to. At the market, we had buckets, and we had QR codes for people to scan, take them to the fundraiser. And we got a good amount of people scanning our QR codes, good amount of people putting money in the bucket, which was just really wonderful to see. And they all very kindly listened to our spiel about the charity and why it's really important to be raising money for them in this very cold winter that we continue having every single year. And one of our producers, Sam, interviewed Jim Robinson, who we interviewed as well last year, who is going to tell you a bit more about the charity and why it's so important. So, here you go.
Okay, so we've got an exciting interview now with a representative from our charity partner for the Festive Bonanza. We've got Jim Robinson from Lancaster District Homeless Action Service in the studio with us. Jim, thanks for coming in.
Oh, no, thank you very much. Thanks for the invite.
So let's talk about the charity.
Mm-hmm.
For listeners who might not know, what does your charity do day to day for people experiencing homelessness in Lancaster?
Yeah, so the Lancaster and District Homeless Action Service, or LDAS, is a day centre that provides in-depth support and advocacy for the homeless, in addition to daily essentials such as breakfast, lunch, laundry and clothing. So LDAS is a hub of staff and volunteers and partner agencies. The support we provide is designed to be holistic, so there's no single type of homeless person, meaning the day-to-day can vary quite dramatically. We provide a safe space that's free from judgment, where a very vulnerable demographic can receive the support that they need most. So ultimately, the type of support provided depends on the person we're working with in that moment. So sometimes someone may come to LDAS because they're without a home and they need to stay somewhere warm during the day and eat a large meal. Someone else may come to LDAS to talk with our engagement officers, address mental and emotional health issues, or receive housing advice. Someone else may come to LDAS to spend some time off the street with people they feel safe around. LDAS also has a medical room, and a nurse uses this space multiple times a week. A lot of people attend to receive wound dressing or advice from a healthcare professional, so that's another thing that we'll do. It's a person-centered approach that recognizes that mental, physical, emotional, social, financial needs of a person are interconnected and affect the overall quality of life. So the day-to-day is hard to predict. It's certainly not a boring place to work. But there will always be food, there will always be warmth, there will always be clothing, there will always be hygiene products, and there will always be people that care about you no matter what your background is. So whatever people need is what we will provide in that time.
That's wonderful and really insightful as well. And I suppose, because obviously, you know, we're at Christmas time, the festive season, it's an emotional time for many people for various different reasons. So what is it like to work within the homeless community at this time of year?
Yeah, winter can be a very difficult time for a great many people. I mean, seasonal affective disorder, for example, is a recognised phenomena, and Christmas can often feel very tough when people have to deal with things like loneliness and isolation, difficulties in relationships, money worries, services being closed, things like that. The biggest issue that we see when working with homeless at this time of the year is the weather and the temperature. It's very unsafe to sleep on the street any night of the year, but when temperatures drop and the rain is heavy, it is particularly dangerous. Something that we focus on around this time is advocating for people in need of what's called the Severe Weather Emergency Protocol, or SWEP. This is a protocol that local authorities or councils will trigger when temperatures are low enough or weather conditions deemed severe enough to provide temporary emergency accommodation. A couple of things to take into account, though, in regards to this is: one, councils are not legally required to provide SWEP. It is instead seen as a humanitarian duty, and the Lancaster Council provides SWEP only to those who are verified as rough sleeping. So while SWEP is a very good protocol in theory, in practice it can be far more difficult to get someone into a safe place during a freezing night or a storm than it should be. Ultimately, our clients struggle greatly throughout the entirety of the year. And it's often harder in winters, but that's not to say sleeping on the streets in July is easy. Something that LDAS does for Christmas is providing a service on Christmas Day and Boxing Day, etc. We put together a big list of homeless people in our area and prepare a full Christmas meal. So turkey, all the trimmings. I have a lot of cooking ahead of me over the next few weeks, I think. And this, while only a small gesture, prevents these people from being alone at Christmas. Regardless of one's faith, it can be very miserable to be alone when everyone else is warm at home eating a big meal with family and friends. So we're open so they don't have to be alone.
That's absolutely wonderful. And I think it's a sentiment that a lot of people might be able to kind of relate to in terms of the loneliness aspect.
Yeah, definitely.
And then having to deal with the issue of experiencing homelessness at the same time, mm-hmm. is just kind of something beyond what I think a lot of people could imagine.
Yeah, it is hard to imagine being in that situation.
Yeah, so kind of thinking about that perspective, what is something that some listeners might not realize about the experience of struggling with homelessness?
I mean, homelessness is a very complex issue. There is no single type of homeless person. There are, of course, disproportionately higher rates of issues like mental health, disabilities, addiction issues, relationship breakdown, etc. But it can ultimately happen to anyone. Something that one may hear when people are discussing homelessness is many people choose to be homeless. This is a myth that continues to this day. It's a saddening number of people think it is a lifestyle choice, you know, which is a quote that you'll hear quite a lot, or at least they will label it as such. In reality, a variety of factors contribute to a person experiencing homelessness, and it's far easier to exhaust all other options than people may think. Another thing that you hear a lot is that homeless people are drug users or alcoholics. That's very very common. And, you know, those that support them might be enabling them, when in reality, research shows that substance abuse is often the result of homelessness rather than the sole root cause. Recovering from addiction is very, very difficult for housed people. So imagine how hard it is for those experiencing the additional trauma of homelessness.
Definitely. Yeah, I think this whole segment that we've just done so far has been incredibly eye-opening, even for me, because I've done just a very small amount of work with a couple of homeless charities when I used to live in Norwich, in my hometown. And even having done that, I'm still kind of learning some perspectives and some insights from just talking to you today that I hadn't quite realized from before. And so I think this is really valuable for people to kind of realize, and hopefully anyone that's listening to this is kind of going to be realizing that there's a real problem and a real struggle here. And so let's think now about LDAS and your winter appeal, mm-hmm. that you've got going on at the minute, because obviously, you know, we've talked about kind of the difficulties that people are struggling with, and the cost of living crisis is still kind of very much in effect and still very much rampant amongst every community. Mm-hmm. So what is the best way for our listeners to support your organisation this season?
Yeah, so we have a winter appeal to help raise funds to keep the charity operating during Christmas and into New Year. It's not cheap to run a three-story office building and provide, you know, hundreds of meals each week and employ a team of staff, so we can't do that without people's generosity. And until, I think, the 6th of January, donations that are made through our crowdfunding page will be matched by the Aviva Community Fund. This is a very good opportunity because it means that, you know, your donation would be doubled at no extra cost. So a £10 donation would be worth 20 for us, you know, which goes a very long way in our charity. To find the crowdfunder, visit the Facebook page. It'll be, you know, one of our pinned pieces of content on social media, and we'll keep posting updates on the fund's progress. We have, I think, 29 days left on the crowdfunder, and we've raised, I think, 60% of the target. Just search for the Lancaster and District Homeless Action Service on Facebook, or visit avivacommunityfund.co.uk/p/helping the homeless. I imagine Bailrig will have links to it on their social media too. This is particularly useful at this time because charities up and down the country are facing a significant drop in donations from members of the public and trusts and foundations, because the cost of living, as you say, is forcing a lot more people to prioritise saving. In times of very poor economic activity, charities often suffer quite greatly.
Absolutely, definitely. And yes, if anyone listening to that wants to help and get involved with this crowdfunding appeal, help them get the rest of the way to their total, we will have links posted on our social media, so feel free to head to the Bailrig FM Instagram page and we'll have some links there that you can head to and donate to this wonderful cause.
Yeah, absolutely. Send it to as many people as you know. It would absolutely be great to get it in front of as many people as possible.
Yeah, share it on your story, share it around. Let's get as much publicity as we can in Lancaster and around Lancaster for this wonderful cause. Well, we're almost out of time now, Jim, but if you could leave our listeners with one message this Christmas season, what would that be?
Oof. I mean, homelessness and poverty is very complex. It's an issue that it is at times politicised, at times misunderstood, and at times ignored. But in the end, what people need to understand is that homelessness is dangerous. It is cold and it is frightening and it is lonely. And in the end, these are human beings that are suffering and need our help. Without charities and non-profits like ELDAS, these people would have nowhere to go to receive the support that they really need. But yeah, ELDAS, like I say, can't do it without the generous donations of those who have something to give. The homeless need us, but we need you, so anything that you can spare will go a very long way, so do please consider donating this Christmas and this winter.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Jim. And one more time for our listeners, if you want to get involved with supporting our amazing charity partners this year, you can head to our Instagram page to find out more about how you can donate to the Winter Appeal. Jim, thank you so much for coming on.
No, thank you very much.
All right, and we'll head back to the studio.
Hello.
And welcome back.
Yes, so that was Jim. Jim's a very lovely guy. We're just so glad that he reached out to us last year. He didn't even ask to be a part of this show. He just asked if he could come on and talk about the charity for a little bit. And we responded with, hey, we're going to do a Christmas show. Why don't we do a little partnership? So it was just very glad that we made that work and that they were very happy to come back and do it again this year.
Yes, and do take time to check out their websites if you can.
Yeah.
A lot of information on there, I assume.
you assume.
And until January 6th, as has been said, all donations are being doubled by Aviva.
Yes.
Even, golly.
Yeah. But
which is like free money, really.
Yes. In a sense, indeed. Of all of the times that you could be donating, this is one of the best that you could be doing. And if you can't afford to donate, there are many other ways you can get involved, whether it's by donating clothes, food, sanitary products, or just toiletries in general. They're always really appreciated by any food bank in the country, or in the world, I'd imagine. Very few countries that don't have a homelessness issue.
This is true.
And if you don't have anything to donate, you've always got your time. If you have free time, I certainly don't.
You do. You've, with your free time, put on a whole radio show with them.
Oh, yeah, I suppose so.
A whole festive bonanza, Rowan.
Yeah, so do something like that. Big community project. That's also a thing you can do for a charity. Forget
you
about
can
that.
Stand in the rain polling people about gravy. It all helps.
Yes. Yeah, so donate, whether it be money or material items, or your time. Everything is very greatly appreciated. And the people there are very lovely, and they would be very happy to meet you and talk to you about any questions you may have. So yes, again, the poll is, the link to the donation page is on our Instagram if you would like to find out more. Back into the show.
Ooh.
Yes. So we're going into another should have been a hit.
Ooh.
Are you excited?
I am excited.
One? Yeah.
It's not by Franz Ferdinand, so not Franz. The Ramones. So I'm less excited.
Okay.
But was it by the Ramones last time?
Yeah, it was by the Ramones.
Your
memory
so good at
is
this.
So beautiful. All right.
I've got the memory of I can't remember what.
All right. Here's another song.
This next one comes from Sam Fender and is a beautiful, heartfelt cover of Lynn Swann's Winter Song. It never quite became a massive hit, but its gentle charm and its winter warmth have made it a quiet favourite for many. So whether you're wrapping up presents, winding down, or just soaking up the festive atmosphere, I have the perfect track to set the mood. So sit back, relax, and let this understated Christmas gem wash over you. Here is Winter Song.
When winter's shadowy fingers first pursue you down the street, and your boots no longer lie about the cold around your feet, do you spare a thought for summer whose passage is complete, whose memories lie in ruins and whose ruins lie in heat? When winter comes howling in, where the wind is singing strangely, blowing music through your head, and your rain's flooded windows making a sound. Do you spare a thought for the homeless child who wishes he was dead? Oh, pull up your bedclothes, hey, dream of summertime instead. When winter comes out. Fingers that caress us without permission, and mystic crystal snowdrops only aggravate the condition. Do you spare one thought for the traveler with no secure position, who's turned and spurned by village and town at the magistrate's decision? When winter comes howling in, when the turkey's in the oven and the Christmas presents are burning, he's an American.
from Lancaster, this is 95.3 Bailrig FM.
Hi there, my friend. What can I get for you today?
Fancy a falafel wrap, loaded fries or kebab? With over 100 options, find this and more at Sultan of Lancaster Experience, on campus and at the Caton Road store.
Bailrig FM.
My bedmeister wasn't on the bed.
I'm sorry. I was too busy going, oh no, we need the Sultan's advert at a normal volume. And then messaging my family about the really exciting thing coming up next.
Oh, really exciting. Well, before we talk about the really exciting thing, we're officially an hour in to what was originally a two-hour show, and it's currently looking like a two-and-a-half-hour show, at least. You're in it for the long haul, folks, is what I've figured out.
Well, you might not be. You can go whenever you want, but please don't. We're in it for the long haul.
I think the listeners should stay.
Yeah, for my sake. I definitely think the listeners should stay, but
they do have.
We can't legally force you to listen, so I'm told. Word in the street is
I think I've heard that somewhere as well.
Yeah,
not sure where though. Maybe in media law training.
I think actually it was in the thing we had to sign. You can't force listeners to listen, and I'm not sure how we would. We need some mind controlling device to. Oh, it was. You can't use subliminal messaging to. So we can't mind control you through the radio. We're not allowed. It's actually in the Ofcom forms.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's really funny.
Yeah, we can't use subliminal messaging.
Well, there you go. There you have it. Right. So this comedy section, eh?
Oh, this comedy section, which we put blood, sweat and tears and none of the above into.
Yeah, didn't you go to comedy school?
No, I didn't, and I'm being rumbled. So I've had a lie going with my uni friend group for the past 3 years that I went to comedy school and dropped out, and B is hearing this and I'm not sure who else. So I'm coming clean because I can't lie on air. It's in the Ofcom rulebook. I never went to comedy school. I didn't even attempt it. Or tried to get in.
Dylan confessed this to me during a different segment, during a song, and said, you have to keep the secret, And I said, no, don't wanna.
So, there you go. I lied about dropping out of comedy school.
Yeah.
And people bring it up and they go, you dropped out of comedy school. And I go, oh, you know, you've got me. I'm not really funny. And the whole time I'm like, haha, you fool, you've bought into my lie.
We thought you went to comedy school in the first place. What a whammy of a lie.
It's just messaged to go, because you're not funny.
Yes. That very true, Jody. Wonderful. So, yeah, this segment, we introduce it in the segment, but if you aren't familiar, we every year do a sports competition with York University, and our student media societies collaborate to bring coverage of this. So this is a little, I'm going to call it a thought experiment.
A hypothetical.
Yeah.
What if?
What if it was Christmassy? What if it was festive in winter?
Welcome to Roses Live on 95.3 Bailrig FM. We're coming to you live today from the studio on the first day of Roses weekend, and I have one main question for today. What on earth is going on?
Well, Rowan, the Roses Committee thought it would be a good idea to put winter sports into play after last year's Roses, and it snowballed from there. And here we are, watching the swimmers today for their first swim of this Winter Roses event. Me and Rowan are here, watching both teams the best of luck.
Yeah, best of luck, everyone. And the pool seems eerily still this morning.
I mean, I suppose it makes sense, though. You know, no one's in it yet. And typically speaking, water isn't very well known for moving on its own.
Lancaster is currently in the lead in terms of overall points, and they definitely have a good head start for Roses weekend as a whole, but it is all still to play for.
Yes, it is. It really is. Now we see our competitors lining up by their diving boards.
Oh, maybe we do, but the listener sure don't.
Okay, they're on their boards, they're ready, and...
Oh
Oh, that's bad. It appears the pool is completely frozen. Oh, it's carnage.
No one is quite sure what to do, it seems. I mean, the lifeguards are all in a fair bit of disbelief.
But wait, the swimmer in lane 3 has started moving across the ice towards the other end. Is he... He's trying to finish the race. Yeah, there he goes. He's like a... Like a semi-graceful penguin.
Alright, semi-graceful is definitely the way to describe it. It appears the other swimmers are following suit.
Welcome back to the Winter Roses. Right now we're tuning into our badminton event, watching our ex-tennis player, Nettie McGlove, who is changing away this year from tennis to play some other sports. And here we see them about to serve.
You're joining us once again from Lancaster University swimming pool. After yesterday's mishaps with the pool being frozen over, the committee thought it would be best to move the figure skating competition from town to here and make the most of the pool in its current state.
The first skater is at the edge of the pool, ready to get on the ice. He's wearing a lovely burgundy leotard representing Lancaster colours, waiting for his music to start. And there it is. He glides out onto the... Oh no! It appears that the ice is too thin and he's fallen in. The lifeguard's gonna go try and pull him out, it seems.
Oh, I've just been told by the facilities team that after yesterday they decided to turn up the pool's temperature.
Oh no.
And we're back, watching a sport not to be confused with a body of water. Yes, that's right, it's pool.
Yes, indeed we are. And up on table one, we have Nettie McGlove.
Oh, and that's a lovely break. You're joining us from the top of Volan Tower. For a little context, dear listener, we were assigned to cover the football stream, but wow, it is cold out there, so we've gone rogue.
Very rogue. We've decided from the top of Volan Tower, you can, like, probably see the football pitches enough. So with a little bit of luck... and the binoculars we acquired, we will be providing the best commentary that we can.
And I think, with that little movement of that white dot, we have a kickoff, it's called, right?
Yes, I believe so. Those two burgundy blobs trailing the white dot, I assume, must be Lancaster's players?
There's a lot of players gathered around the side of the pitch. It seems like a pretty bad strategy, if you ask me.
Well, I assume that those are the spectators.
There's... quite a few of them. Who would spectate in this weather?
Well, certainly not us. Hello and welcome back to our stream. You now join us for the chess tournament. We just watched a very intense game between two of last year's champions, but in the end, Lancaster's horsey ended it all by knocking over the castle, which got the king.
Bill, stop waffling. Nettie McGlove just opened with a pawn e4.
Sorry.
Bailrig FM, your student sound.
Right, I think we found that a bit too funny in the studio.
I realise every time we opened one of those skits, we said, hello and welcome back to the stream. But this time, for real and actual, hello and welcome back to the stream. This is
yes,
Rowan
this is
and
very
Dylan
funny, dear.
On the Festive Bonanza live stream, as opposed to Rose's Winter.
Winter Roses is what we were calling it.
Winter Roses, with just one R shared between the two words. Because it was fun to write in the file names, but then it made it really difficult to find.
I mean, you're the one who edited it.
It's
and
true,
you did a good job. You did a good job.
Thank you. You didn't do a very good job
at naming it, because in the system it's male tennis players don't grunt.
Yeah, which was a file I used... for the tennis grunt of Nettie McGlove.
Yes, I think it's definitely obvious that somebody didn't go to comedy school.
It might be getting obvious that somebody didn't go to comedy school because somebody had to come clean about their lie because somebody told everybody live on air.
I didn't tell anyone.
You did.
No,
you went...
I said, didn't you go to comedy school?
Oh, yeah, but you... coaxed it out of me, you swine.
I didn't coax anything. I just merely poked. I poked. I did not prompt. So yes,
That was Winter Roses. It was quite. I thought it was funny, but I'm biased. Yes, Dylan, stop looking at your phone.
Sorry, it's my friend. Professional. I was hoping for criticism on my comedy sketch. You know, I'm hoping to go big with this. I think.
Well, then
BBC
send it
will take
to the BBC
up.
Rather than going on your phone during a broadcast, maybe.
This is fair.
Right. So that was Winter Roses. Silly little skit show that I had the idea of on the way home from our first Roses, not Roses, Festive Bonanza meeting. I thought, oh, you know what would be a great idea? Roses, but in winter. And I quickly realised, actually, that's a terrible idea, but it would make a great skit show. So, next up we have another should have been a hit.
And we'll let me decide whether it should have been a hit or not.
I don't think that's how the segment's supposed to work.
I would like it to, though. I think my opinion matters, at least to me, more than anybody else's.
Start a record label and we'll see. For now, let's have another one.
Next up, we've got a track by The Blue Nile with a title that's very to the point. It's simply called Christmas. This is a bit of a change of pace. It's a lot slower. It's perfect for a late night Christmas groove, especially taking us into these cold, dark nights. It is slightly melancholic at times. However, I think the general message of it is finding little bursts of joy and hope during what can be a very hectic season. And I think that's a very important thing for us all to remember. So here is Blue Nile with Christmas. Enjoy.
Lights, the money
So this next one is a song by the Flaming Lips. It's called A Change at Christmas. It's slow, it's contemplative, but it carries that magical whimsy that the Flaming Lips take with them wherever they go. I think it's got a really gorgeous message to it, where it asks us to kind of appreciate the lives of everyone at Christmas and to really take a minute to think about the true meaning of Christmas. So here are the Flaming Lips with A Change at Christmas.
All right, here we go. Hey, Andrew, you ready over there, huh?
I'm all set.
Hey, Richard, you good, huh?
I'm ready, man. Let's do it. Come on.
Hey, Dave, you're good, huh?
I'm feeling good.
Well, Mike?
Let's do it.
All right, here we go. Because everything's going to work out just fine. I can see it. I can see it ahead.
You're listening to 95.3 Balerig FM.
Hello and welcome to my Hallmark Holiday Ho Ho Hoax or Ho Ho Honesty Christmas film quiz. So what I've done is I have scoured the internet for just a lot of Christmas films that have either terrible or weird or questionable crazy kind of plots, very Hallmark-esque. And I have used this expert knowledge to both gather films that do already exist and to make up my own Hallmark-esque film titles and synopses. So what I'm going to do is read you out a title and a synopsis, and I want you to tell me if you think it is a ho-ho hoax, that being one that I've made up, or a ho-ho honesty, for lack of other words that begin with a H, that is a real Christmas film that exists out there. This first Christmas film is called The Santa Incident. When Santa Claus is mistaken for a hostile intruder while his sleigh is flying through US airspace, he is shot down by a missile. After his crash back down to Earth, Father Christmas is discovered by a brother and sister who bring him home, where their mother, Joanna, who works at the local hospital, attempts to nurse him back to health. As Christmas nears, Erickson and Cunningham, two secret agents set on preventing the threat of terrorism that Santa poses, obsessively hunt him down, convinced that he is an alien threat. While hiding in the small town, Santa earns supplies through acts of kindness and secretly rebuilds his toy workshop, all while helping the family discover their faith in Christmas and the true meaning of the season. Despite the threat of the two comically menacing agents looming close, Joanna also rekindles a romance with her childhood sweetheart, who is the town sheriff. During the final showdown, Santa's squad of baby-faced elves arrive at the family home to confront the agents and a SWAT team sent to capture an alien terrorist, using North Pole magic to disarm the situation. With Christmas saved and misunderstandings resolved, Santa heads back to the North Pole, and Joanna and Hank, the sheriff's will-they-won't-they romance is sealed with a Christmas kiss. Is that a ho-ho hoax or a ho-ho honesty?
Right, Dylan.
I feel like that's got to be a ho-ho honesty. There's too much... I haven't heard a ho-ho hoax. I have nothing to base it off. But it feels too
unless
real.
Unless that was like, a ho-ho hoax.
Unless that was a ho-ho hoax, I would never know. But I feel like, just for me personally, it's too real. Like, Santa, it often flies in unregistered through...
US airspace. They US do take airspace. That pretty seriously over there.
Right. If I were a US airspace monitorer, I'd be pretty annoyed at Santa.
Yeah.
And so I could believe
oh, pretty easy
him.
To shoot him down as well, considering that there's like Santa trackers and everything.
Yeah, NORAD. Yeah. NORAD knows exactly where he's going to be. And I feel like Rudolph's pretty vulnerable to missiles, right?
Yeah, he's got like a blinker on him.
Yeah. You don't even need heat seeking. You can just go, where's the biggest bright red glowing nose?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a ho-ho hoax. And that's definitely
no, the other
not
way.
Because I'm...
Ho-ho honesty.
Oh, yes, a ho-ho honesty. Yeah, that's what I meant. It starts with the same three things.
Yeah.
Dylan, no, that's like we've got all of the answers in point. Little... In little folded bits of paper.
We're actually just cheating to make us look really
no,
good.
No, I know the answer from my Instagram reels.
It is a ho-ho honesty.
What?
Or well, there you real go. As it says on the card.
That's so real.
It's so real.
Or to bring back a crazy throwback. That's crazy.
That is crazy.
That's crazy.
Or you could say, oh, that's not on that.
There you go.
You could say, that's...
Gravy.
That basically sounded like crazy, right?
Gravy. A little bit, yeah. All right, that's the first one. Eve, give us the next one.
This next film is entitled A Christmas Switch. Sisters Noelle and Carol have always been close and shared their love of pulling identity-swapping pranks on their dad and teachers over the years. Now, following the passing of their father, with Christmas approaching and both feeling overwhelmed, they decide to trade lives once more for old time's sake. Social media influencer Noelle moves into Carol's cozy apartment above the struggling family bookstore, discovering through their late father's journals just how dire the shop's future is. Meanwhile, practical Carol embraces Noelle's glamorous penthouse life,
but soon finds herself longing for the Christmas warmth of her hometown. At first at the bookstore, Noelle butts heads with Jake, the tradition-loving cashier who refused to accept her plans for modernisation. However, the more time the pair spend together, the more Jake slowly warms to her modern marketing ideas, especially her plan for a festive book swap fundraiser on Christmas Eve. In the city, Carol unexpectedly falls for Gabriel, unaware he's Noelle's former flame. When Gabriel learns Carol's true identity, their budding romance collapses under the weight of the twins' lies. Following the real Carol's heartbreak, the sisters switch back, only to face complicated feelings and even more lies. But when Jake confesses to Carol, and Gabriel arrives seeking forgiveness, the sisters must untangle the truth before the much-anticipated Christmas Eve fundraiser. Now I'm asking, is that a ho-ho hoax or a ho-ho honesty?
See, now that's another pretty in-depth story.
It's a very in-depth story. I feel... it feels more out there. I'm not
really?
Sure.
More out there than Alien Santa?
But, like...
see, now,
as a film concept...
okay, I feel like I vaguely recognise it as well. What I'm learning is that I watch a lot of Instagram reel summaries of Hallmark Christmas movies. It feels vaguely familiar, but then again, they all sound vaguely like that.
Yeah, no, like, it's all, oh, we've got to rush to get the biggest book shop.
No, that there's a thing we need to do by Christmas, and also I've fallen in love with a man.
It's true.
They are all kind of like that.
Which makes me feel like it would be a good ho-ho hoax.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you've got the weird twist, which is that they swap from time to time. That happens. You could think of that. I mean, you could think of all of it. People do think of films.
Well,
that's how films start.
If it is a ho-ho hoax, then Eve would have had to think of it, so...
well, I think Eve can think of a good many things, personally.
Yes.
Probably.
I would imagine so. She's getting a master's.
Oh, that's exciting. Go, Eve. A master's in making up Hallmark films?
Not quite.
Ugh.
But also not miles off, you know. So, what are we locking in?
I think it's a ho-ho hoax.
I think it's a ho-ho honesty.
Okay, agree to disagree?
Yes, agree to disagree. Let's see.
It's a ho-ho hoax. I'm
gosh,
so
darn
on
it.
This.
Or, as Eve has written, fake.
I'm 2-2.
All right, Dylan's winning. Nobody's keeping score.
I am.
Oh.
Because I'm winning.
It's good, because I can't remember numbers. All right. You ready for the next one? Got to see if we can
yeah, I'm
even
very
the scoreboard.
Ready.
Let's go.
This next one is called A Gingerbread Romance. So, architect Taylor has always dreamt of furthering her career and moving abroad. So when a promotion in Paris is to be offered to the member of her firm who wins a high-profile charity event in the form of a life-size gingerbread house building competition, Taylor jumps at the chance to enter. When her pastry chef partner abruptly quits, Taylor turns to Adam, a Christmas tree delivery man, aspiring local baker, and devoted single father. Though they clash at first, Adam's daughter helps bring them together, and the trio soon becomes an inseparable team. As they spend more time together ice skating, decorating Christmas trees, and preparing for the big competition, Taylor begins to question her resistance to settling down. Adam dreams of expanding his bakery, and the gingerbread contest offers him the exposure he so desperately needs. After winning the competition, Taylor is offered the Paris job, but Adam has already asked her to stay and spend Christmas with him and his daughter. When he goes to confess his feelings, she's gone. Ultimately, Taylor does realise her heart belongs with Adam and returns to tell him she loves him and that for the first time, she has found her true home. So what do we think?
Ooh. It sounds real.
See, I think it doesn't.
Oh, are we...
I think it's too cliché. There's no big
she
twist.
She starts corporately, a gingerbread thing happens. Yeah, there's no strange twist. But also, people do produce things that just follow clichés. That's why clichés exist.
I don't know. I feel like most of the recent Hallmark Christmas movies, there's some sort of weird twist or, like, spin.
I think The progression of the story, the twist was that she went back home to do a thing, and then she went, hang on, and in the very last minute she went back to the man and went, actually, I do want to stop following my dreams.
That's not a twist, that happens in all of them.
I
don't watch enough Hallmark Christmas movies.
Think Ho-Ho Honesty.
I think Ho-Ho Hoax. Oh no.
So that one was a Ho-Ho Honesty.
I'm not very good at this, it seems.
And we are 3-1 to me, because I am on this Christmas movie grind.
I have not seen you watching a single Christmas movie. Have you been hiding this from me? Have you been secretly preparing?
Well, at the meeting, Eve said, I'm going to do Ho-Ho Hoax and or Ho-Ho Honesty. And I went, brilliant, I'm going to watch as many Hallmark films as I can. And then promptly forgot to do that. So I'm just here on my own with my vast knowledge of lies. It's like playing Old Maid.
I see. I'm not bad at Old Maid. Old Maid.
No, but you're thinking about the films too much.
Oh. I see.
Are we ready for film four?
Yeah, we're ready for film four. Last
one
for the ad.
I'm so ready to win at film four.
All right, let's go.
This one is called A Christmas Toy Shop Miracle. When two mischievous North Pole elves are sent to Earth to check on Christmas spirit levels, they stumble upon Gloria, the warm-hearted owner of a small toy store. Normally filled to the brim with Christmas cheer, Gloria is having a difficult season after finding out that her boyfriend Ryan has cheated on her. Sensing her sadness, the elves decide to act as her secret guardian angels and matchmakers, posing as personal shoppers for a wealthy family so that they can spend more time in her store. Their plans then take a twist when Gregory, a stern business exec and single father, arrives with intentions to buy out Gloria's beloved store. Sparks fly between the two as they clash over the future of the store and the meaning of Christmas. With a little help from the elves, though, Gregory begins to rediscover joy, family, and the true magic of the Christmas season. At Gloria's charity toy drive party, Gregory confesses his feelings, realizing his daughter and Gloria matter far more than his career.
So, common scenes, themes that I'm seeing are single father, charity event, time pressure.
Yeah, well, everyone, Christmas is all about time pressure. I cooked a big roast meal recently.
You on your own.
On my own,
all
with no
by
help.
Yourself. Nobody helped at all with that.
No, me and my house cooked a big roast dinner recently, and it was all about time pressure. Time pressure is very festive. I think that film is real. And I think it, because in the first thing, she says that the Christmas elves were sent down to Earth, and then it never mentions the fact that the elves are aliens again. And I think that's just the type of random thing that a Christmas Hallmark movie would do.
I mean, it might have been heaven rather than, you know, outer space.
This is true, but it wasn't gone into. They were sent down to Earth.
Okay.
I feel like the North Pole is part of Earth, and that's where everyone kind of, I'd assume elves came from the North Pole, and they speak like this. That would be my assumption.
Yes. I think I'm inclined to agree.
Yeah, so we both think Ho-Ho Honesty.
Yeah.
Opening it up, it is... I'm not good at this poker face stuff. Rowan knows the result exactly as I open the thing. That was a Ho-Ho Hoax. We've been got by Eve Waters. It was the subtle drop of the came down to earth. It really had me.
Yeah.
Shows what I know. No.
Suppose it was, again, maybe just a bit too cliche. Right.
No, I think it could really have happened.
All right.
I enjoy the image of alien elves hiding little antenna under their hats.
And being quite nice people to
some
lovely
angels.
Shop lady.
Well, it feels like alien elves, they would. They're Christmas elves, they've got to be nice.
Yeah.
God knows what happens if they end up on Santa's naughty list.
All right. Next up is our hourly scheduled, obviously it's not on the hour, but yeah, struggles of doing a live show, advert, and then it's into another film. So let's go.
You're listening to 95.3 Bale Rig FM.
Hi there, my friend. What can I get for you today?
Fancy a falafel wrap, loaded fries or kebab? With over 100 options, find this and more at Sultan of Lancaster Experience. On campus and at the Caton Road store.
Bale Rig FM.
This next film is A Christmas Detour. When a fierce blizzard grounds all flights just days before Christmas, Molly Frost, an aspiring actress heading home for the holidays, and Nicholas Hale, a devoted schoolteacher returning from a job interview, find themselves stranded in the same airport. The two, much to their horror, bump into each other at the airport desk, both begging to get on the next plane, only to be caught off guard by their former lover. With no way home, the reluctant exes agree to rent a car together, only to be driven off course by heavy snow midway and forced to take shelter in a quaint, Christmas-loving town. Welcomed by its cheerful residents, Molly and Nicholas are soon swept into the town's crisis. The annual nativity pageant is about to be cancelled after its director is trapped by the storm. Roped into co-directing, the pair must put aside old grievances. As they rehearse with the townsfolk, warm memories resurface and each begins to recognise the mistakes that pulled them apart. Molly's fear of settling down and Nicholas's struggle to support her ambitions. The pageant's success draws them closer, but neither is brave enough to admit lingering feelings. After the triumphant nativity, the quirky locals orchestrate a moment alone, prompting a heartfelt confession. Though the love is mutual, Molly plans to return to the city to pursue her dreams. But after the holidays, Nicholas appears at her apartment, new job in the city secured, ready to build a future together in her world. Is that ho ho ho?
Sorry about that.
Our bed is on song mode because it is in theory a song. So it
came
appears...
in a bit early, a bit loud.
Yeah.
Well, I've heard this set up for a Christmas movie somewhere else, I think.
Their names are Molly Hale. No, Molly Frost and Nicholas Hale.
Which is a very Hallmark movie thing.
But also Eve Waters could have thrown us for a loop here.
I don't know. I think... Oh, maybe.
Like, she gave the name.
Molly sounds like Holly. I feel like I would have gone with Holly.
Sure, if I was clichéing it, I'd have gone for Holly.
Yeah.
Because Nicholas is Saint Nick.
Yeah.
Molly...
But it's Nicholas Hale rather than, like, Nicholas Frost.
Yeah. But it's Molly Frost, so Frost is already done.
They could have switched it around.
Mm.
But yes,
And then it seems very nativity-esque.
Yes.
But also, nativity had great success. I could believe something just did nativity, but slightly differently.
Yeah, me too.
Do you remember the name of it? What's the name you've said? Is it on the thing?
A Christmas Detour.
What was the name of the last Ho Ho hoax?
A Christmas Toy Shop Miracle. But the one before that was A Christmas Switch. And before that, the Santa Incident. So a lot of them do start with a. And then there's also... coming up, The Christmas Secret and A Christmas Wish for Yesterday, and then another one, Delivering Christmas, and then Deck the Heart.
So there's
variety. It can't be distinguished
can't be
through
distinguished
that, I think.
From the name. Eve's got that down.
Yeah. She's thought of it.
She's thought of it.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Right. Neither do I. I'm going to say Ho Ho Honesty, because I feel like I've heard the setup before.
Yeah, I think Ho Ho Honesty.
All right, let's find out. You should open it closer to the microphone so the microphone's got a noise. Yeah, there you go.
It was a Ho Ho Hoax.
Yeah.
But if I just keep guessing with Rowan, then I can't lose.
Well, because you're blaming me.
No, because I'm two ahead, and if I keep guessing with you, neither of us will move.
I see. Yes.
I see. This is not where my vote was. I genuinely did think it is a ho-ho honesty, and it was a ho-ho hoax. So, shows what I know about Christmas Hallmark films.
Well, let's test the theory again. All right, another one.
This one is called A Christmas Carousel. See what they did there? Like A Christmas Carol? Lila, a talented art teacher and skilled carousel restorer, travels with her father to the snowy kingdom of Ancadia after being hired to repair the royal family's historic carousel before the kingdom's Christmas Eve gala. She unexpectedly finds herself working side by side with Prince Whitaker, a charming playboy prince who dreams of becoming an artist. The pair meet when Lila nearly knocks Whitaker off a ladder, not knowing that the man she endangers is actually the Prince of Ancadia. Lila discovers that Whitaker is proposing to turn a snooty Duke's manor into the Ancadian School of Art, and the only thing preventing the plan is the Duke's disapproval. The pair begin to restore the carousel by morning and plan an art-themed gala by evening. Lila faces a difficult choice between applying for her dream job back home or continuing to work with her father restoring carousels. Whitaker hopes the gala will speak to the Duke and win Lila's heart, but royal pressure and the Duke's daughter Margaret, to whom the King wishes Whitaker to be married, threaten to pull him and Lila apart. When Whitaker takes Margaret to the gala, Lila believes her chance at love has slipped away, until a magical wish on the carousel brings them back together. With the art school approved in Ancadia and their feelings finally confessed, Lila and Whitaker celebrate Christmas riding the newly restored carousel. Is that real? Did I make that up? You decide.
I will decide. Thank you, Eve Waters. I
think it's a ho-ho honesty.
I think it's real.
Yeah.
There's the layers, like a good lasagna.
It's got layers. It's got a different setting as well. I feel like the easy way of making a fake is to make it basic
and then twist
it's a lot harder to make up a whole setting and a name for the setting. It's quite Princess Diaries, I think.
I was going to say, it feels like it's animated, like a Barbie movie.
Well, it's a Hallmark movie, so it wouldn't be animated.
Oh, is that a feature of Hallmark movies?
Yeah, the card company. I don't think the Hallmark movie can be...
I just thought it meant like
Wait, Dylan, talk, I'll Google.
Talk, I'm talking. I didn't think it could be... had to be live action. I assumed it was just kind of like a... like a specific type of movie that's like typical of what you would watch at Christmas.
I was wrong.
Ha ha!
Well, there's not many of them.
Animated is one of them. Christmas Carousel.
Yeah, but... well, no, we can't Google that, Dylan.
Ugh.
I'll Google it after we find out. Okay, so we're both saying ho-ho honesty.
Ho-ho honesty. I think it would be an animated Barbie-type film. Oh. It's right. It was a ho-ho honesty. That puts me on 4 and Rowan on 2.
Woo! I'm not catching up.
No, you're not. But the ratio is better now.
Nope, it's a live-action movie.
It's live-action, damn.
Tell you what, Dylan, let's watch it when we get home.
Yeah?
No.
No. I feel I'd watch it if it was animated. I think it would be a lot better of an animated movie than a...
I don't know, I feel like bad CGI might be the Christmas spirit that I've been missing.
I had really funny wordplay, but I can't say it on air.
Alright, and with that, we will move on to the next one. It's a 7 out of 10, I believe.
Yeah, looks like...
This one is called The Christmas Secret. So the film opens with Jerry as a child rescuing a baby bird that has fallen out of a tree. The boy climbs a high tree to return the bird to safety, but falls out, only to then be saved by a flying reindeer. We flash forward and Jerry has devoted his entire life to researching animal flight and is a lecturer at a university. Now struggling to secure tenure, he becomes obsessed with proving that reindeer can fly after a student gives him a 19th century manuscript documenting similar sightings to what Jerry saw as a child. His fixation causes him to miss holidays, strain his marriage, and jeopardize his daughter Grace's medical security after the university withdraws their recommendation for tenure when Jerry proposes his theory publicly. Determined to gather evidence, Jerry flies to Alaska, but his plane crashes.
Rescued by a grumpy elf, he's taken to Santa's hidden workshop, where Saint Nick himself warns that if Jerry publicly proves Santa's existence, Christmas as the world knows it will end. Meanwhile, Jerry is presumed dead, prompting his wife and Grace to journey to Alaska in search of answers. With Grace wishing for her father to return, Jerry joins Santa on a sleigh mission to find his family. Reunited on Christmas Eve, Jerry finally embraces true belief. In order to preserve his status as a true believer and not further jeopardize Christmas, Jerry publishes a paper. Not about reindeer, but about flying squirrels, and his family is joyfully restored. What do we think?
So originally I thought it was a ho-ho hoax, but
I think the fact that Santa was changed. In Alaska.
It was the mention of Alaska that really just, it was so, because I thought, okay, reindeer, we talked about them last bonanza, maybe they are still on Eve's, Eve's
this
mind.
This is what I thought.
Yeah, like the reindeer's being fake, that's a bonanza special. And then also the fact that it's like a university professor. We're at university.
Very topical.
Yeah.
But then
Alaska.
Why would Santa be in Alaska?
I mean, I suppose it's north.
Well, maybe Mrs. Claus will know. Alaska!
Right. Okay. You got me.
Thank you.
I think it's just random enough. It got a little bit dark in there, actually.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that's not very Christmassy. But then I also thought, actually, you know what? Some Hallmark movies are for adults, so, you know, why not get a little...
Actually, I think most of them have more than four adults in.
Dylan, open the piece of paper. We're both saying ho-ho honesty, aren't we?
Yeah.
You keep siding with me.
Bro, we're bad at this.
We're bad at this?
No, it's a ho-ho honesty.
Yay! We got it! Dylan's practicing her poker face now, is what I'm figuring out.
Yep. So next one, I'll have to actually say what it definitely is, but I've been saying it like the opposite, so Rowan won't know at all.
So now you've got to try and make it look like you're lying?
Yeah. It's like the scene in The Princess Bride.
Yes, Dylan,
well,
yes it is.
I've switched the cups. Only a fool would switch the cups. Yeah. Never challenge a Sicilian when death is on the line. I just wanted to do my voice.
Yeah, of course you
did. It's not very good.
All right, we'll go to the next one, because that's not a Christmas movie and you're... It's not a Christmas movie. We're on a Christmas show and you're talking about a non-Christmas movie.
I watched it at Christmas one time. Maybe.
And that's what makes it a Christmas movie. Up next, we have another movie.
You're listening to 95.3 Bailrig FM.
This one is called A Christmas Wish for Yesterday. Holly feels her life has lost its sparkle. Her once promising writing career has stalled. Her marriage to the dependable Joseph Pines feels dull. And the holidays have passed without joy. On New Year's Eve, overwhelmed by regret, Holly wishes on a shooting star for the chance to relive her 20s and start again. When she awakes on New Year's Day, 10 years in the past, her wish has come true. Determined to rewrite her story, Holly builds a glamorous new life as a rising corporate exec with a wealthy new boyfriend. But as December approaches, she still feels inexplicably empty. Seeking Christmas cheer, she visits the Pines family tree farm, only to spot Joseph, her would-be husband, working there. Realising she walked away from the love that truly matters, she tries to win him back through volunteer work on the farm and by helping organise the town's Christmas tree festival. But in this rewritten timeline, Joseph is already engaged as the pair didn't meet when they were supposed to. Heartbroken and alone on New Year's Eve, Holly wishes once more for her real life. She awakens beside her husband, restored to the world she has taken for granted, ready to cherish it and finally write her greatest story yet about a woman who wishes away her life on a shooting star.
What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are that this irresponsible woman got the ability to wish, and instead of wishing for world peace, she went, "Cor blimey, I wish I was 20 again." And then she went,
didn't know it would work.
I wish I didn't wish to be 20 again. Right, well, the second time when she went,
yeah, but that would be
I can make wishes on New Year's Eve. This is great. And she wished for mundanity.
That would be a pretty bad Christmas movie, Dylan.
What? Wishing for world peace? Oh, my God. She used logic and the world is fixed now. She went to the authority. Movie she got ends. A lawyer. The lawyer did a wish audit for her. The lawyer wrote a foolproof wish for world peace.
Wow.
That's the Christmas Hallmark movie I'd like to watch.
It's a Christmas Hallmark movie I'd like to live through, but this I think too, I wouldn't want to watch it. I think it's a ho-ho hoax. I think it's the fact that her name's Holly.
And Joseph.
Joseph That's and Holly.
Joseph and Holly.
Yeah. I don't think those are a very relationship-y couple of names. Sorry if you're a Holly dating a Joseph or a Joseph dating a Holly. Or trying to. But I just don't think I could see those names being in a relationship together.
I think for any Joseph and Hollies out there, seize this festive season to be the one time your names work together. You're a jolly couple for the moment.
Yeah, but deep down you'll always know that your names are just too Christmassy combined. All right, Dylan, open it up.
I think ho-ho hoax. I do, I think
ho-ho hoax. So
we
the
are
issue...
good at this. But yeah. I flashed you the card.
Yeah, you did flash me the card. So you couldn't do your lying thing.
No, I wasn't going to.
Oh.
I did it honestly either way.
Ooh.
It's a ho-ho hoax, which we said. So it is 5-3 to me still. Because, no, it's not.
Can you just get it wrong?
I beat you at one.
Yeah, maybe. No, you beat me at more than one.
Yeah, I beat you at 3 now, I think.
Wonderful. Well, all right. Second to last one. Do you think we're going to get it right?
Yes, I'm actually pretty confident in our flow now. I think we've got it.
I don't.
This film is called Delivering Christmas. Christian reluctantly tags along with his Uncle Nick on a business trip to the charming, snow-covered town of Evergreen Falls. Nick hopes to inspire Christian to take over the family's Christmas gift delivery business so that he can finally retire. But Christian wants absolutely nothing to do with any responsibility. Instead, he slacks off and stirs up trouble, ruining snowmen for the annual snow sculpture contest, causing chaos in the town square, and stealing gingerbread from the local bakery. Caught red-handed by Natalie Winters, the bakery's owner and daughter of the town sheriff, Christian is then sentenced to community service. Under Natalie's watchful eye, he becomes her reluctant sous chef and slowly begins to appreciate Evergreen Falls and the magic of Christmas. Natalie confesses she stopped believing in the holiday after never receiving her childhood dream gift, and Christian starts to understand the importance of his family's work. When Uncle Nick insists they return home, Christian leaves, until he realizes he's left his heart behind. Racing back on Christmas Eve, he makes one final special delivery, an engagement ring for Natalie. With love found and purpose restored, Christian embraces his role in the family business as Natalie prepares to open the North Pole Gingerbread Bakery. What do we think?
That's our second baker.
I think it's a ho-ho hoax.
I think it's a ho-ho hoax.
I think orange probation jumpsuits don't look very festive.
No, that's a good point, actually.
I think either they've not...
Maybe they get forced to wear Santa hats, though.
For community service, I think...
During Christmas.
We should just do that anyway.
Not sure we should.
No, it feels a bit inhumane, actually. But I would like to see more people with Santa hats, so maybe it's the way we can achieve this.
You should go to the Santa fun runs.
This is true. I bet there would be people with Santa hats there.
Quite a few.
Wouldn't there be Santa hat shops? I bet there would be Santa hats there I could look at. Yeah. So are we both looking in ho-ho hoax?
Yeah. I need you to start saying things different to me.
I'm sorry, but we are good at this. We've gotten them all right except this one, which we also have got right because it's a ho-ho hoax.
Yay!
I say we. I've gotten them all bar one right.
Well, now you're just rubbing it in. It's not very nice.
I'm sorry that I'm better than you at this particular quiz.
Well, you get bragging rights and nothing else.
And the publicity that comes with beating you at the ho-ho hoax or ho-ho honesty quiz.
Yeah, you also beat
live
me
on air.
Guessing whether or not we'd get this one right. So, last one.
Last one. Ooh, exciting.
Yeah.
What's this one called? Deck the Heart.
Deck the Heart.
I hope it's about playing cards.
And finally, we have Deck the Heart.
After the death of his beloved grandpa, who loved Christmas more than anything, Chris, a driven executive vice president, buries himself in work. When Chris learns he's inherited his grandfather's cherished manor in Maine, he's stunned to discover that there's a condition. He must host the annual family Christmas gathering exactly as his grandfather did for decades. With no time and even less holiday cheer, Chris hires professional party planner and decorator Meredith Mary Block, whose mission is to restore joy to every celebration she touches. As Chris works from the manor, Mary transforms the home with festive decor, warm traditions, and test dinners for the big event. Their professional partnership blossoms into a tender romance, and Mary helps Chris reconnect with his family and himself. But when Chris's mother reveals that Mary cannot be paid if Chris hopes to inherit the property, Mary lies to protect him, placing their budding relationship on uncertain ground. As Christmas approaches, Chris must then decide whether he'll return to his old life or fight for the newfound joy and love that has begun to warm his heart. What do we think? Ho ho hoax or ho ho honesty?
It's another Chris.
It's another Chris. We had a Christian.
It's a good season for Christmas.
I think his last name is Mus.
Yeah, Christmas. Oh, yeah. Chris must figure out how he's going to get this inheritance.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's a tricky one. I think it's too short.
No, because Nativity was basically that. Nativity is all I have to go off if anyone hadn't figured it out.
It's not even a Hallmark movie.
Is it not?
No. Hallmark is an American thing.
Oh. I feel Hallmark adjacent.
It's a Christmas movie, if that's what you mean.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I also watched Die Hard, but I feel like that's less useful here.
That's not a Christmas movie.
It's a Christmas movie.
I've never watched Die Hard, but it's not a Christmas movie.
It happens at Christmas.
That doesn't make it a Christmas movie.
Yeah, it does.
No, it does. A Christmas movie has to involve holiday cheer, some single dad, or otherwise single man falling in love with a woman.
With a woman?
Two people falling...
That's not very inclusive.
Hallmark movies are heteronormative, I'm sorry to say.
The Hallmark movies, you need to step up your game.
Yeah. I mean, they did have that that one last year that was a hot frosty.
A hot frosty? I feel like frost can't be hot.
This one was a...
it's a contradiction of terms.
There was a snowman building competition. Someone made an incredibly buff snowman, and this magical scarf gets wrapped around one of the snowmen because a girl who's sad about her her deceased husband looks at him and is like, oh, you're a bit attractive, I'll give you my scarf, you look cold. And then he comes to life and she teaches him how to be human, and they fall in love.
That's a ho-ho hoax.
No, that's a ho-ho honesty. It's a really great movie.
You've completely thrown me off my game. I was thinking, what's this one? It's the one for the family inheritance.
Yes.
I feel like inheritance...
I think it's a ho-ho hoax.
I think it's a ho-ho honesty.
All right. Split decision on the last one. Let's go.
I feel like just for the drama.
Yeah, just for the drama.
What did I say?
The wrong one.
What did I say?
The wrong one. Wrong one. Ho-ho honesty.
I did say that, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
Listeners, I'd like you to take a second to guess what is on this card, as if you hadn't been already, because, you know...
You're keeping them in suspense. You don't have
suspense. Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
This is what I'm doing.
All right, can you...
I'm enjoying the look of fear in your eyes as I announced that it was a ho-ho honesty, and I won by an extra 2 points, because you lost out on one, and I gained one.
No, I lost out. You've lost one by three, I think. I can't count.
Four?
Four.
Something like that.
Yes.
Three or four.
Right. Well done, Dylan.
Thank you.
I believe Eve has a little outro for us.
Ooh, exciting.
And that brings us to the end of the Hallmark Holiday Ho Ho Hoax or Ho Ho Honesty Christmas Film Quiz. Thank you guys for playing. And I am curious to know, did you guys play along at home? And if you did you get them all right? Are you a Hallmark aficionado? Or did I manage to catch you guys out?
Next up, we've got a track by The Blue Nile with a title that's very to the point. It's simply called Christmas. This is a bit of a change of pace. It's a lot slower. It's perfect for a late night Christmas groove, especially taking us into these cold dark nights. It is slightly melancholic at times, however, I think the general message of it is finding little bursts of joy and hope during what can be a very hectic season, and I think that's a very important thing for us all to remember. So here is the Blue Nile with Christmas. Enjoy. Next up, we've got a track by the Blue Nile with a title that's very to the point. It's simply called Christmas. This is a bit of a change of pace. It's a lot slower. It's perfect for... Thank you.
I keep putting Dylan's mic up and then down again. And watching.
Hello and welcome back to the stream.
Ooh, maybe I should turn down. Hello. Maybe I should put him down. Ooh, am I going to do it?
No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't dare.
Or would I?
Ah! I don't know if that picked up, but I hope it did.
Yeah, they screamed if it didn't. Wonderful. That's it.
That's us. That's the Festive Bonanza 2 Electric Bonanzoogaloo? No. It doesn't work at all.
Zoogaloo.
I was trying to do something. I'm tired. It's been a 2-hour stream on a Friday at the end of term.
Yeah. It's been long. But we did it.
We did do it.
Things got edited on time. We had many segments.
We're not the step producers. We're the producers that stepped up. I felt like on the topic of Hallmark films.
That's quite nice.
You're not the stepdad, the dad that stepped up.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Can appreciate that.
Very Hallmarky.
Yes. Thank you to everyone who is listening. Appreciate it. Dealing with our shenanigans. And thank you very much to all of the other producers who have.
Yes.
Either revising really tired or have gone home already.
For very, very valid reasons. I hope you enjoy yourselves to the utmost degree that you can. And to those who aren't listening, I am mildly disappointed in you.
Yes. It has been a wonderful, wonderful time. One might say a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Christmas time.
Oh, is that a segue or
no,
are you just saying
it? No,
oh.
I was just because it's a Christmas song.
Yeah, no, I understand, but you could have been
simply
segueing.
Having a wonderful Christmas. Yeah, okay. No, I wasn't because it's not going into just random Christmas music. We have our final little segment of the show.
Your music dry, 95.3.
No, Dylan, that's what we call in the radio biz as a link.
Oh, I was just reading the next bit off the thing. I was excited.
It's the bit after that. it is the festive sing-along. We, once again this year, got a bunch of lecturers and some other people that we know to do a bit of a sing-along to Deck the Halls, which you are probably a bit sick of by now because we've had it as the bed for the entire show.
Or maybe you're really itching to hear it properly.
Yeah, maybe you're really, really wanting to hear the thing in full. And by golly, some of our lecturers can't sing, so I'm not sure about how you'll feel about it. But, you know, they gave it their all. I think I quite, you
and
know...
And that's really more beautiful than good singing, is what they put into it, their hearts.
I'm tone deaf, so I can't actually tell very
well.
And
I haven't heard it, so I can't tell either.
Yeah, but they put their all in. It's a wonderful testament to just our community, the community that we've built here, and the amazing work that we've done, and also the pains and wonderful rewards of audio editing.
Yes, and as this ends, so does our show. Thank you for tuning in to Festive Bonanza Part 2.
Yes, but stay tuned to hear some lecturers sing. Thank you very much for listening, and we will see you next year.
Happy holidays.
Live from Lancaster, this is 95.3 Bailrig FM. Alle Kerzen, fa la 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 la.
We hope you enjoyed this year's festive sing-along. We'd like to say a thank you to staff members from Languages and Global Cultures, Law School, and Linguistics and English Language. An extra special thank you goes out to the Christmas Market Goers, stall holders, and Scan Exec, who gave us extra fa-la-la-las. The producers' segment were Lizzie Coupland, Maria Damsker, and Rowan Brigden. The backing was Deck the Halls B by Kevin MacLeod, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 4.0. We hope you have a very good holiday, a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, and we'll see you all in 2026. But for now, we'll leave you with some bloopers.
No, that was wrong. That was another fa-la-la-la-la, yeah?
Love you'll turn me trip.
Wait, I need to check it's not going to blast your ears out. That would have blasted your ears out, actually.
It would have done.
It would have. 50's quite high.
Oh, sorry, it's been a jump scare moment again. shall I just keep going? Okay.
Yeah. We can pause.
This is 95.3 Bail Rig FM.
I was riding herd one night on Christmas Eve when I saw a spooky sight, one you'd never believe. All tuckered out and bone tired, weary Santa Claus came my way, dragging his reindeer across the prairie hitched to a big red sleigh. Santa got lost in Texas and didn't know how to leave. Santa got lost in Texas on a Christmas Eve. Sit right down and rest, I said, here by the campfire's glow. Share my coffee, beans and bread before you have to go. You're pretty dumb like me, he said, to work in the wintry frost. I'm pretty dumb like you, I said, but mister, I ain't lost. Santa got lost in Texas and didn't know how to leave. Santa got lost in Texas on a Christmas Eve. I've been riding along, says he, looking for just one guy. Texas is too big for me, too dang wide high. I'm leaving you a big lone star on a pair of silver spurs. Here in the land of cattle farming, my last stop was yours. Santa got lost in Texas and didn't know how to leave. Santa got lost in Texas on Christmas Eve. So he ate my beans and bread and drank till the pot was dry. Merry Christmas, son, he said, now I've got to fly. You keep watch on the herd, old partner, don't let the doggies roam. I'll just send for Texas Northern, it'll blow me home. Santa got lost in Texas, and when he said goodbye, he left the star of Texas a-blazing in the sky. As long as there's a Christmas and cowboys on the plain, Santa will come to Texas and never get lost again.
Sunday.
this Christmas Eve, babe. In the drunk tank, an old man said to me, won't see another one. And then we sang a song.